Thanks for joining us for another Heartland Filmmaker interview. Joining us today is Cary Fukunaga, director of the truly moving picture award-winning film Jane Eyre. Speaking with him today is our own Tim Irwin.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Cary. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Doing well, thanks. Appreciate you taking some time to join us today.
No worries.
Well, just had a few questions for you today. To start out with, could you maybe give our audience a brief overview of the film and how you became involved as director?
Yeah, I mean, the film is based on Charlotte Bronte's classic, Jane Eyre. And it was one of my favorite films as a kid. There's a couple of black and white films that have always like stood out in my memory as being sort of, I guess, fundamental in terms of like early appreciation of cinema. And Jane Eyre and I think Beau Geste and a couple other ones are some of my favorite ones. And I kind of came around to the project almost by accident. It was one of the stories that I thought at one point I might adapt on my own. And then I heard the BBC had a project. So when I was in the UK promoting my last film, Sin Nombre, I contacted the BBC to see if I could get a meeting and have a general meeting and talk about what they have in the slate and see if I could get access to the Jane Eyre script. And ended up meeting with Christine Langan, who's one of the executives there. And she let me see the script, and I loved it. And then I had a meeting with the writer and producer and told them what I wanted to do with the film, and it was just a meeting of minds. And 5-6 months later, we were making the film. It was just a whirlwind.
Fantastic. So how did you and, I mean, because it would have been you and the screenwriter trying to structure the film in such a way that it's cinematically appealing but still retains the story and some of the essential themes. How did you guys work that out together?
You know, the idea was to be as faithful as possible to the text. It's very long. It's 500-plus pages, which makes it a very difficult feature-length adaptation because you have basically 2 hours to tell a whole lot of story. And I think there's been about 20 or 19 feature film adaptations plus, you know, a slew of television adaptations. And a miniseries always has more time to really get into the story. And a feature film has to be really selective. And it's tough because there's iconic scenes that have been done like 20 times. And people compare various versions of how they feel, you know, each version treated that part of the film, whether it be the meeting of Jane Eyre and Edward Rochester for the first time when his horse crashes, or, you know, how Bertha Mason is revealed to how her childhood is treated, or one of the most difficult parts, I think, of the story is the third part of the novel, and that's when she ends up at this missionary's house, St. John Rivers, and how that affects her decision to return to Thornfield to face Edward Rochester, the man she truly loves. And one of the most difficult things of the adaptation was that third part. And Moira found a really great way in the story by breaking up the narrative, and rather than telling it chronologically, basically from Jane's childhood and being orphaned up until and through the love affair with Rochester to the third act with St. John Rivers and then back to Rochester, which is an awkward structure in 21st century storytelling, she broke up the story by using that last third part as sort of the structural chassis in which we could tell the rest of the story, sort of a not flashbacks, but catching up with where we were at the present tense. And it makes it a bit more mysterious, and I think in a way the language of it is much more like contemporary storytelling. We're much more comfortable with non-linear sort of narratives.
Fantastic. Were there ways that you contemporized how you told the story? I know some of the gothic thriller elements are a little bit highlighted here, but it seems very true to the original material. How'd you go about with the aesthetic there?
The modus operandi with the whole production was, again, faithfulness to text, faithfulness to early Gothic literature, and not making it what I feel like many of the other narratives were like, was just sort of standard period drama and romance. And the great thing about the early Gothic writers like the Brontes was how they treated, how different they were, for example, from the previous generation, which would have been like Jane Austen, and how their stories were so much more sort of colored by tragedy and the gloom of Northern England where they grew up, and about all these sort of like the more mysterious sort of darker, more isolating aspects of living in these giant halls in Northern England. And we wanted to make sure that we were much more couched in that world and not just telling this sort of like twee sort of period drama. Because the problem with the tone in the story, not the problem, but the challenge of the tone in the story is that you have to walk this line between, which is essentially a romance tale, but also you have the darker aspects of it. And those are sort of mutually exclusive genres when you're in the cinema world, because when you're reading, you're able to sort of fluidly move between those two places and accept the tonal shifts. when you're watching a story for just 2 hours, there has to be more of a consistency to things. And I think that's probably why other films have avoided it more.
Yeah, I loved, I mean, there's a lot of sort of close-up dialogue scenes, but I particularly loved a lot of your long shots where there's a small character in a vast landscape. How did you use those type of shots to sort of establish the mood and the character? And then where did you shoot it all?
We shot most of the film in Derbyshire, northern Derbyshire, which was interesting. My production location manager and I had interesting conversations about whether we believed much of the story was taking place in Yorkshire, Derbyshire, and he was adamant the story was taking place in Derbyshire, and I was adamant that it was closer to Yorkshire because Bronte doesn't actually specify town names. Oftentimes, she would just put the first letter of the word down and then leave these spaces. So you're left to question, is this in Sheffield or some other town? And then if it's in 20-mile radius of Sheffield, which is like the Rivers family live within a 20-mile radius of Sheffield, is that on the Yorkshire side or the Derbyshire side? Which makes a difference. It changes the landscape. And so we really try to like find locations, both that worked logistically for the production and worked within the time we had to shoot the film and maximize the days we had shooting so we weren't just traveling. But also, were able to give us something that was, beautiful to look at.
Great. And did the location sort of change how you approached the accents of the characters? I read something about how you didn't do just the standard, this is a BBC British accent from the period. What was that process like?
Basically, for accents, the Derbyshire accent is actually quite difficult. It's a much subtler sort of approach to the northern accent. It has a different sort of intonation than the Yorkshire accent, which is a little bit more common. People can make fun of a Yorkshire accent like the way they can make fun of a Texan accent. You know, they can improvise it. And so we decided to go with Yorkshire for Jane and a sort of like posh Yorkshire for Rochester. Just like subtly non-RP. And RP is like received pronunciation. If you want to call it BBC English, it's received pronunciation would be the Queen's English. And that would be the language of the aristocracy. And being that he's landed gentry, that would be more his world. But in this time period, you know, discussing with the historical advisor, we felt that even amongst the aristocracy, they'd also still be more affected by their regions.
And your star, Mia Wasikowska, she was fresh off a very large film last year and then a very small film with Alice in Wonderland and The Kids Are All Right. How did you go about directing her to embody Jane in your film?
Mia had read the book already, so she was pretty well versed on the story. And she knew exactly sort of how she wanted to approach this. So it was more just a conversation of like, okay, so what are the nuances we give the character? Who is this person? Do we agree on this? And it was, luckily, you know, we were just really vibed and wanted to like give her this particular Jane as much sort of like fire as possible underneath. And so Mia's really great at sort of embodying the subtle sort of contained performance.
Great. And you had Jamie Bell and was it Michael Fassbender for the male leads?
Yeah, Jamie Bell and Michael Fassbender, exactly.
And was your approach with them any different? Were they as familiar with the material as Mia had been?
Yeah, I mean, Michael, very familiar with the Brontes, had also familiar with Emily Bronte, with Wuthering Heights, and Jamie, being a Geordie boy himself from Northern England, the Brontes are quite celebrated up north, so very familiar with the material.
Now we noticed that the film's very dark in a lot of places, as it would have been in the 19th century, because the sun goes down and suddenly you have candles in a fireplace. Was this a challenge for you and your DP, or was it a blessing that sort of enabled you to bring out some of the beauty of the settings? I was thinking of Sven Nykvist trying to light a face with just a candle at some of the times, and you guys did a great job.
Well, thank you. Adrian and I always try to approach the film and shoot them as naturally as possible. We work together on Sin Nombre, and you know we really try to go for the sort of industrial lighting in that film. And this film was sort of like a no-brainer to go with really playing with darkness and not lighting entire sets and letting these actors sort of like wallow in sort of limbo in these dark, cavernous galleries and rooms in these big homes and like literally just lighting a scene with one candle.
That's fantastic. Were there some of the themes in Jane Eyre that you had also noticed in Sin Nombre? Was there anything that resonated with you between the two films?
No, I mean, visually, I think they're very different films. And part of, for me, the exercise in Jane Eyre was exercise in just being very conservative with the approach and the camera and letting the scenes sort of work on their own and not really doing too much work in general in the visual side, just stately and patient, disciplined.
All right, well, our last question, what are some of the films that you would consider your most truly moving pictures? Which ones have inspired you to hone your craft better or think about the world in a different way?
think growing up, some of the films that really inspired me were actually Spielberg films like Empire of the Sun and Purple, and obviously Jane Eyre as a child, Beau Geste, another black and white film from back in the day I really loved. There's so many. I mean, it's like the list changes at different points in my life. So in terms of like pictures that have really sort of affected who I am as human being, it's so hard to assemble a list. It would take me days.
Sure.
After those ones, you know, as an adult, you know, the list changes drastically. And usually they're not really wholesome films in that way. They're
sure.
Darker and more dangerous.
Yeah. What are some of those, the darker ones for you?
As an adult, like I really love the Malick films, you know, and not like a dark look, but just sort of like just more sort of a damaged sort of character.
Right.
Batman's Days of Heaven, those kind of films.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Well, all right, Carrie, I think that's all we have for you today. I'm sure you have lots more people to talk to as you get ready for the release, so we appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Carrie Fukunaga, director of the Truly Moving Picture Award winner, Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre will be released starting March 11th. Head to trulymovingpictures.org for more information. We would like to give special thanks to Carrie and Focus Features for making today's interview possible, and thanks for creating a beautiful adaptation of a literary classic.